Every Thursday morning, we check in with City Hall and the Deputy Mayor's Office is our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Keith.
Hey.
I've almost left out. It's Masters Thursday, but I don't need to remind you of that. They're on the range. Jack and Gary Player have hit the ceremonial opening tee shots. Ted Potter Jr., Austin Cook, and Wesley Bryant have teed it off, and away we go in the 82nd edition. I know you have absolutely no interest in this at all.
Yeah, none at all. I will say this. My remedy to your terrible forecast you just gave will be to turn on the Masters, watch the beauty of Augusta. Even if you don't like golf, that place is gorgeous.
And it's not any warmer down there, Mick. Jack Nicklaus is huffing and puffing. You can see his breath popping out when he was hitting the opening tee shot. So
yeah, they have a little cold start this morning, didn't they?
It's hard to swing it when it's cold. Maybe those afternoon guys like Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson playing at 2 o'clock, they'll be nice and warm. These early birds, whoo, that's a little chilly.
Well, it's a special time of year and a lot of anxious and I think a lot of interest in this particular Masters because Tiger's back playing at a level that I think has got the attention of all of his peers. And again, we've talked about this before, but it's just good for the sport when he's in the hunt, when he's playing well, when he's in events, because he draws a lot of people to watch golf tournaments when he's in them.
And how many shots is he going to win by this week?
He's not going to win,
what? In my estimation.
I think there's too much pressure to
on
do
Tiger?
That as good as he is. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know,
man.
But I do not have him winning the Masters.
Who would that be?
I have Jordan Spieth winning the Masters.
Interesting. I don't think there's a bad pick.
There's a lot of people that could win it, that's for sure.
There is, and you know what's going to happen when we think this is going to be the greatest Masters of all time. Adam Hadwin is going to don the green jacket.
Exactly.
And we're all going to sit here and scratch our head on Sunday afternoon and wonder what just happened. But we're not here to do a program on golf. That's going to be our next project once we get closer to the summertime. But we've had a busy it's always busy in this city. And when we talked to you last Thursday, we were getting ready, and you let us know that the announcement on the decision of the Lenco Bearcat would be made. It came out at lunchtime last week. We've had a week to kind of turn over it, chew on it, look at it. 15 pages. I said this on the air multiple times. I thought it was excellently presented for anybody who was involved with this. There was 15 pages of notes, opinion, fact, you name it. It was covered, linked resources, the whole nine yards. First of all, I commend you guys on putting that together, because if anybody had a question, it was answered in that report to some degree.
Well, thanks for that. It took a lot of people to contribute to that, and a lot of that came obviously from comments from our community, from both pro and con, as was noted in the just about 50-50 responses to our online survey about the purchase. And, you know, we wanted to be thorough in responding to all of the concerns, and those were expressed again on both sides. People concerned for the safety of our students in schools with the recent shootings in Parkland, Florida. People concerned about incidents they've seen on television. Now we've got another one, a YouTube shooting out in California, and those things we hope never happen here, but obviously our job is to prepare and protect the public should those things happen, and I think that's the overriding reason Mayor Hamilton decided to go ahead with the purchases. We can't put blinders on and think things couldn't happen in our community, and we will not use this vehicle in a way that it's not supposed to be used in places that we've seen across the country. And just because places have used theirs inappropriately doesn't mean we will. We haven't in the past. We won't in the future. You, I think, know from reading the 15 pages, we put a lot of thought into ways that we could assure the public that there wouldn't be inappropriate use of it. That's outlined in the document, and we've asked the City Council to weigh in on that as well. And if they can have a meeting that doesn't get interrupted so they can do their business, I think they'll get to that. But I'm sure you'll want to talk about what happened last night as well. And but thanks for the acknowledgement. We did put a lot of thought into it. And again, that thought was reflective of the community and the input we received from the community.
And it's an excellent resource material. If anybody's late to it or confused on what they might have heard or not heard, you can always go back and look at that. You're going to keep that PDF document, all 15 pages, right on the front page of the website, right?
Yes, that should be up for a while in its prominent position and location, and you know the news off the front page rotates around, but for now that's important to have out there and out front as a further discussion about how the vehicle should not be used, which is really the direction I think we're looking for guidance from our Board of Public Safety to do some review, and also from the City Council to provide some feedback in the form of resolutions or some sort of language that suggests how the police chief should deploy or not deploy the vehicle. Remembering there's a delicate balance, you know, you have to have the police do their job. At the same time, we want the reflective comments from the city council via the constituents that have come and expressed concern to be represented in kind of guidelines of how the vehicle should not be used.
Mick, you mentioned that last night there was a disruption of the city council meeting. They adjourned the meeting early, and the folks from Black Lives Matter had come there and were speaking over the council people that were talking, and they decided to adjourn the meeting early. Are you having ongoing conversations with Black Lives Matter? Is there anything going on around the whole issue, or are you at a loss to figure out what else you can do?
Well, I would say we have had conversations with them. They generally, members of that group have been in contact with various members of our staff, including the mayor. And after the decision's been announced, they've chosen, for the moment at least, to my understanding, and I'm not, they may have reached out to some other members of our administrative staff here. I don't think they've been reaching out to us. I think their direction was pointed to the city council, as it was evidenced last night in their attendance and then disruption of the meeting. So I know some city council members have had conversations, and maybe all of them have. I can't speak for all of them. We're open to, you know, those discussions, but the focus should now be on, you know, where we're going moving forward, not stopping the purchase. That decision has been made.
I presume that that's been communicated that, hey, we'll talk anytime you want to talk.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've never seen an official position from them. Is there one that I'm just not aware of?
Well, I can't speak for them.
I didn't know if they sent you a list of requests, demands, whatever it could be, and said, here's what we're about and here's what we're doing.
They did.
Okay.
They did send those demands. So we have seen those, and obviously with the decision to purchase the vehicle, to continue the purchase, you know, we're not meeting that demand, and I think that's the primary issue for them.
Interesting. Mick Renheisen's our guest. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. And there are no everything's business as usual moving forward. Protest is protest. It's legal what's being done here. It's just inconvenient. Is that perhaps the word some people are using?
Well, that's right. People have the right to voice their concern about any issue. The city council has a section in their agenda for that every week. Now, last night, that's not how the discussion played out. It was rather, you know, the Black Lives Matter group interrupted some statements that city council members were making during their part of public comment, and then the meeting was shut down by a vote of the council. Now, the council, you know, they run their meetings. We don't run them. We don't tell them how to run them, so they'll have to address how they get the business done before them and manage through how to have public comment, which I'm quite confident would have been allowed last night had it been done in the format that is always allowed and agendaed for each week's meeting for the public to come up and comment about anything. So it never got to that point, from my understanding, as it was disrupted when the council members were giving their public comments at the very beginning, and then it was shut down as a result. You know, eventually the city has business to do, and the council will have to address how they're going to get that business done amidst if this disruption or this type of way of expressing dissent is continued. I don't know how this council or for that
can
matter,
they change others, how the meetings work, where they put the time at a different spot in the meeting or shuffle that around?
Yeah, don't know. That's again a council decision.
Okay.
We don't legislate.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Jim Sims next Tuesday, so we'll put that on our agenda for Jim. I know we're tight on time today. I want to get your thoughts on Kilroy's really quick. What is the city's? What do they have to do with that? The hearing yesterday was about their liquor license. What direct involvement do you or
well,
don't
Mary
you
Catherine
have?
Carmichael spoke on behalf of the city.
There you go.
Yeah, so our concern, you know, we've met with Kilroy's numerous times. It to us, it's a public safety issue. When you hear concerns about underage, and I'm saying them anywhere, it could be any of the liquor establishments, but this one in particular gets more comment about some things that, well, and their own marketing campaign, I think, brought some of this on them, that they did some things earlier in the year that drew attention to what looked like an approach to marginalize young women, and it just felt inappropriate to us. So we've had conversations with them about. They've promised to do some things, including starting a Safe Bar Alliance. But, you know, we hear that they want to do something. They show us all this great marketing campaign, and then 2 months later, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at the bar. But from the perspective of what they said they were going to start engaging in doing, we haven't seen any activity. So it just felt a little disingenuous to us. You know, tell us what we want to hear and then don't do anything is not going to get the city's approval of practices that we think may be jeopardizing some people by either over-serving or, you know, marginalizing women in the case of their marketing campaign. So well, if anybody did this, you know, we would speak out against it. So I think they feel like they're being picked on, but I would argue their behavior has created the discourse that we're having with them, and we have the right to go speak to the Alcoholic Beverage Commission and say, hey, here's what they've told us they're going to do, and there's been no activity. So we were far from the only ones that suggested that the ABC should look into whether to give them a two-year license or no license, or whatever. And what they ended up doing was a one-year license, which I think puts Kilroy's and should put other bars on notice. You know, you have a serious responsibility to make sure people are safe when they're at your establishment. That's our primary concern.
Mick, before we let you go, there's something about the 4th Street Garage you wanted to mention.
Yeah, 3rd and 4th Street floors at the 4th Street Parking Garage be closed today for electrical repairs, and also next Thursday and Friday, the 12th and 13th. So if you've got a permit there, you'll still be available to go on other floors, including the basement and the rooftop, but floors 3 and 4 at the 4th Street Garage are going to have some electrical work done. If you can't get into that garage, you can also take your pass and go to the Scotty's Garage on Walnut and use the call button to exit there. So just wanted to give some advance notice. There's some work being done, so there might be some tight parking conditions in the 4th Street Garage. And then don't forget this weekend, Saturday, a cold Saturday, is the first day for the Bloomington Farmers Market starting its 44th season.
Awesome. And you know what? When you're moving around with people and you got a cup of coffee, you're fine. It's not that cold.
Yeah, it'll be good. And right? next week, what happens in bicentennial celebrations? County celebrates theirs April 10th with the ceremony in the morning around the courthouse. City celebrates theirs the 11th of April on Wednesday in the council chambers. Starting at 5 o'clock, a reception, and then the mayor's going to speak, and a ceremony will happen between 6 and 6:30 in our council chamber. So exciting, celebrating our city and county's 200th birthday next week, next Tuesday and next Wednesday.
And plenty of stuff going along with all of that as well. I know there's a big festival that starts, I think, 4 o'clock on Tuesday down there. I'm trying to help you out on this weather, but my goodness. It's February here in April. That's tough to do. Do you have one quick bit of trivia for us?
Let's do Bicentennial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do Bicentennial. What are the names?
But Keith has the advantage here because he was here when they platted the community. So,
what are the names of the limestone bears that sit outside the Monroe County Public Library? Are they A, Summer, Spring, and Autumn? B, Twain, Hemingway, and Hawthorne? C, Sunny, Luna, and Snowdrop? Or D, Winkin, Blinkin, and Knot?
I'm going to go with C.
You know, so am I. That sounds very Bloomington.
That is very Bloomington, and that's what their names are. The three
yes.
bears outside of the library are Sunny, Luna, and Snowdrop.
Well, and the two stooges in this studio are Glass and Keith. So we'll let you get back to work. We appreciate your time, and we'll get caught up next Thursday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mick.